Justice Department lawyers say they have dropped their investigation of Philip Zimmerman, a computer programmer who had been suspected of violating the country's export control laws. Zimmerman is the author of a widely used program that scrambles computer data, such as electronic mail, in such a way that no one can read it without a secret key. He had been under investigation for sending the program abroad. Many leading figures in the computer industry had defended Zimmerman. NPR's Dan Charles reports.
Philip Zimmerman is the original author of a computer program called Pretty Good Privacy. The program is an example of cryptography. You can use it to encrypt electronic mail messages, turning them into a meaningless jumble so people who aren't supposed to can't read them. The U.S. government, like most governments, considers cryptography a sensitive technology. If too many people use it, it could interfere with espionage, for one thing. So it's not legal to take programs like Pretty Good Privacy out of the country without an export license. Zimmerman disagrees with that policy. He says it discourages companies from distributing cryptography and consumers from using it. Yet these days, it's a technology people need.
Cryptography used to be the stuff of spies. In a bygone era when computers were big vacuum tube machines that filled the room and only governments owned them, today we live in the information age, and now cryptography is a technology for the rest of us, for our personal communications, our business communications.
That's one reason Zimmerman wrote Pretty Good Privacy. And finished in June of 1991, someone made the program available over the Internet.
When it was posted on the Internet the first time, it didn't take long for it to make it across the border.
Within a few days, in fact, copies made their way across much of Europe and Asia. That's when Zimmerman, who lives in Boulder, Colorado, got his first visit from the U.S. Customs Service. 2 years later, in 1993, officials from the Customs Service told Zimmerman he was formally under investigation for violating the nation's export control laws. Many privacy advocates and experts on computer security came to Zimmerman's defense. Some hoped to use the case as a way to challenge the government's laws on cryptography. Zimmerman's lawyers were going to argue, among other things, that it's unconstitutional for the government to prohibit international publication of Pretty Good Privacy. Zimmerman says those rules violate the right to free speech and the right to privacy. But yesterday, the Office of the U.S. Attorney for Northern California announced there would be no trial. A lawyer from that office informed Zimmerman he was no longer under investigation. Attorneys handling the case say they cannot release any information as to the reasons why. Zimmerman says he's relieved.
Certainly I wasn't looking forward to a trial, although we were certainly ready. We were ready to go if necessary, but I'm greatly relieved that it wasn't necessary.
Two other cases that involve similar issues, however, are still pending in the courts, one in California, another in Washington, D.C. In both cases, citizens are suing the government, arguing that the government's attempts to restrict the export of cryptography are a violation of the First Amendment. This is Dan Charles in Washington.
This is Morning Edition. I'm Bob Edwards. U.S. intelligence agencies have placed an area in northwest Bosnia under regular surveillance in an effort to confirm published reports that a mass grave is located in the region. A front-page article in yesterday's New York Times says a mining complex near the town of Ljubica may hold as many as 8,000 corpses of Muslim and Croat men, women, and children, allegedly victims of so-called ethnic cleansing by Bosnian Serbs. Human rights monitors believe the Ljubica mine, along with suspected mass graves near the eastern Bosnian town of Srebrenica, will help prove whether the Bosnian Serbs were involved in genocide. Joining me from Zagreb is Chris Hedges of the New York Times. Your article is based on eyewitness accounts by non-Serbs in the region. How reliable are those accounts?
I think they're pretty reliable, one, because of the sheer number, because people were interviewed separately and their accounts coincided, and because it's not particularly new information that a very brutal policy of ethnic cleansing was carried out in this area. If you remember, in the beginning of the war in 1992, there were reports by Roy Gutman and others about the death camps and the genocide that was carried out in this corner of Bosnia.
What did the eyewitnesses claim to have seen in the mine?
From the first wave of killings in 1992, they say they saw buses go into the mine day and night, completely full. They heard shooting regularly over a two-month period, again day and night, and they saw buses come out empty. The mine itself was not a detention center. It was a burial and execution site. It appears to have become a collection point for bodies that were interned in various mass graves throughout the region. And there appears to have been a pretty concerted effort over the last few months by the Bosnian Serbs to exhume these bodies and bury them in perhaps even one central location within this mining complex, which is very large.
You tried to get there to see for yourself. What happened?
I was arrested by the Bosnian Serb police, held for the day and expelled from their self-declared republic.
Any other outside observers, human rights monitors, UN officials, any of them been able to get in?
Nobody's been allowed in. The British actually have a local or regional headquarters in the town, probably a mile or two from where this this huge pit, which is about 75 feet deep, I guess it's been filled in now, but where we believe a large number of bodies are being held. But they don't feel that it's their mandate to intervene or to investigate or even to escort and protect journalists or human rights investigators who might want to visit the site.
So they're not even going to go over there and check it out?
No.
One man is being blamed for many of the alleged killings. What can you tell us about him?
Arkan. Arkan is a nom de guerre for a figure who resides in Belgrade. He's actually a Belgrade Serb who worked for Yugoslav independence before the war. He was clearly involved. There are just too many eyewitness reports of him and his sort of paramilitary group carrying out killings and this kind of stuff. But it was not an action that was limited to Arkan. These killings were directed and run by the Bosnian Serb government, and the 6th Bosnian Serb 6th Corps, which has since been disbanded, and another corps, they were also involved. So yes, Arkan was involved not only in 1992, but again this fall when there was another round of very brutal ethnic cleansing in the area. But this is not limited to Arkan. The scope of the killing is too large. The scope of the expulsion is too large. This was a very concerted effort by all of the Bosnian Serb leadership.
Thank you much. Chris Hedges of the New York Times in Zagreb, Croatia. Japan's new prime minister said today that his country's most important